In John chapter 6, there's John, who is an eyewitness of the life of Jesus. You know, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We have four accounts of Jesus' life. It's so cool. John records a sermon in John chapter 6 where Jesus loses the crowd. It's like his worst sermon ever. Everybody has the worst sermon ever. And during the sermon, you read it for yourself, and it's a very strange sermon. It's a very odd sermon, and everybody apparently thought it was odd. And John tells us he was there. He said, this is the day we lost the crowd. This is the day that everybody was so offended, they said, you know what? We like the free food, we like the miracles, but that's just too strange for us. We're out of here. And Jesus lost the crowd. So as I was moving into this series and preparing for this series, it dawned on me this week, this may be my John 6 moment. Where all of you say, you know what, Andy, it's been fun. We like the music and the environments, but that is just too offensive. Because in John 6, it said the crowd was actually so offended by what Jesus said, they just walked away. So I decided we're just going to plunge ahead anyway, and at the risk of the most offensive series I've ever done, we're just going to do this. And so, and here's why this is going to be offensive for some of you, but I hope you'll come back anyway. The reason it's offensive is because I want to teach you how to do something that you think you already know how to do. And I'm not trying to get you to do something, I'm trying to teach you how to do something. So it's going to be a little confusing maybe up front. And the reason I decided to do this is because we know statistically that most Americans are not this and do not know how to do this. Now, I don't think you're average Americans. In fact, if you attend one of our churches, you're way above average. Even if this is your first time, you're around some way above average people, and you know, you become like the people you hang around with. So you should just hang around at one of our churches. You'll become above average. But chances are we probably represent to some extent the average American in some capacity. And I'm afraid maybe in this capacity we do. So at the risk of offending most of you, if not all of you, I've decided to teach you how to do something you probably think you already know how to do. But if no one has ever taught you how to do it, you probably think you know how, but you don't. So what I'm going to do for the next 3 weeks is I want to teach you how to be generous, not how to give. All of you know how to give. Everybody knows how to give. Everybody in America knows how to give. This is a be versus a do. I'm not trying to get you to do something. I want to teach you for the next 3 weeks how to be generous. Now, as soon as I say that, I know what you think, because I'm the same way. As soon as somebody says you don't do something, you immediately think of that one time you did it. Or as soon as somebody says that you're not a certain way, you immediately think of the time you were that way. Like, guys, I mean, how many times has this happened? If you're married, you know, and you're at some point in every marriage, in multiple points, maybe in my marriage, our wives will say to us, you just don't help enough around the house. And men, what is the first thing that comes to our mind when somebody, our wives tell us we don't help around the house? That time in 2014, I cleaned out the dishwasher. Do you not remember in 2014 you came home and I cleaned out the dishwasher? We think of the one thing that we did that's exception to the rule. You could walk up to the meanest person you know and say, do you realize everybody thinks you're mean? And they will immediately think of the one nice thing they said 4 years ago, and they will define themselves by that. So when I push a little bit in this series and say, I want to teach you how to be generous because I don't think anyone's ever taught you how to be generous. And if no one taught you how to be generous, you may think you're generous or not. Immediately you're going to think about, are you kidding me? I didn't just give $39.95 to be rich. I gave $39.95 for everybody in our family. I'm offended that you would say that. That's why I said up front, this may be my John 6 moment. When I talk about generosity, we're not talking about random acts of giving. Okay? Most of us are good at random acts of giving. And random acts of giving generally come as a result of somebody persuading us to do something, asking us to do something, inspiring us to do something, guilting us to do something. And the truth is, most of our giving, our random acts of giving, are kind of at the end of a little bit of a sales pitch. And I don't mean we're upset or we wish we didn't give, but generally somebody makes a need known and it's like, wow, you know, maybe I should do that. We do a little random act of giving, random act of giving, random act of giving. What we're talking about in this series are not random acts of giving, and I'm all for random acts of giving. The more random acts of giving, the better. But for the next few weeks, I want to talk specifically about generosity and how to be generous. Because generosity actually transcends, and this is going to be helpful. Generosity, genuine generosity, actually transcends inspiration and guilt. That genuinely generous people are not moved near as much by the big inspirational pitch about a need somewhere in the world or in our community, nor are they ever moved by guilt. Because generous people have moved beyond that. Now, I can just feel the nervousness from all of our campuses all over the country. Okay, so I want to make you a promise. And some of you have been here for a long time, so maybe you'll believe me if this is your first time. Maybe not, but I want to make you a promise about this series as we go forward. And here's the promise. When you become generous, not just random acts of giving, we all do random acts of giving. When you actually become a generous person, and to kind of give you a little heads up, when you learn how, and again, you have to be taught, you know, this isn't natural, as we're going to see. When you learn how to order your life around generosity, when you learn how to order your life around generosity, when you become actually a generous person, not someone who just gives randomly to things, and when you see people in need or somebody says there's a need, when you become generous, you will actually give more. And here's the surprise part. This is why you got to come back. You will actually save more, and you will actually consume less. That generous people, by nature, when you become generous, you will give more. You will give more, you will save more money, and you will actually consume less. Now, there is a small group of you, there's an exception to this. Some of you have already saved so much, you borderline hoarding your money, okay? It's just a small percentage of you. You will not save more. You will actually just give more and consume less, but you won't save more because some of you have already saved enough. And you have more money than everybody on the four rows in front of you and behind you, okay? All saved up. And you are still nervous about money. And I'm telling you why. It's not because you don't have enough money. It's because you have never learned to be generous. And I don't mean you never give. You do random acts of giving. In fact, the zeros on the end of your check are so big, people think you're generous. In fact, you think you're generous. But if you've never learned to be, if no one's ever taught you to be generous, you may have a lot of wealth and still not be generous. But for most of us, if you will learn to be generous, you will give more, you will save more, and you will actually consume less. And then here's the promise Jesus makes, if you don't like my promise. Jesus promises you will actually be happier because you've never met an unhappy, generous person. This is Jesus' promise. You'll actually be happier. And then I'll just take you even one step further, okay? For those of you who are parents, especially if you're a parent and you have a high school senior living with you, or if you're a parent and you have a freshman or sophomore, junior or senior in college, or maybe even graduate school, or if you have a junior in high school that's a little bit above average, which of course yours is above average, here's my promise to you, okay? Look up here. If you will have your student in church next Sunday on the front four rows, I promise you that when you are old, they will have more money to help take care of you. I promise you that, okay? You may have totally fouled up your finances and you may never learn to be generous, but if you'll let me teach your kids to be generous, you will be better off. That's how powerful this is, and that's how all-encompassing this is, because generosity, ordering your life, not random acts of giving, ordering your life around generosity affects every single part of your life and every single part of your finances. It becomes a keystone habit that trickles down into everything. Now, the reason this has to be taught, even though you all think you're generous, we all think we're generous because we can think of all that money that we gave away. The reason that this has to be taught is because generosity is not natural. It's just not natural. If you have children, you know this. If you remember being a children, you know this, right? We have to teach our kids to share. We have to teach our kids to share. Why? Because there are a lot of things that come naturally. Generosity does not come naturally. In fact, you're an adult and you still resist generosity every once in a while. It's like, he's talking about that. And you know, your wife's kind of elbowing, your girlfriend's elbowing, you're elbowing your girlfriend. She's like, don't elbow me. And it's like, you're that person, or you know that person, or you live with that person, that even though they're a grown up and they're an adult and everybody's been taught to share, there is still, come on, let's be honest, there's still something in us that when it comes to giving away what's ours and giving away what we've worked for, there's still resistance. And the reason is because it's not your fault. Generosity, like we're talking about, is not natural. Now, in the United States and in some Western countries, generosity, even though it's not natural, it is cultural. And the reason generosity, or the idea of giving or being generous, is popular in the United States of America, I don't have time to prove this, and you don't even have to believe this, but I'll throw it out, is because generosity is cultural in the United States, because in any nation in the world, where there has been a history of strong Christian influence, you find in that nation a shadow of Christian values, and one of those Christian values is generosity. that generosity is part of our American ought. You ought to give. You ought to be generous. It's not natural, but it is cultural. It's part of our culture, but it's something that needs to be taught. And if you don't believe me, you just need to visit some nations or pay attention to the news about nations that this is not a natural inclination. The best example is what's happening right now with immigration in the Middle East and Europe. You know this. The countries that have a history and a tradition of Christianity, even though they would not consider themselves Christian nations, even though most of the people in those nations may not consider themselves Christian nations, there is still a shadow. There is still a vestige of. There is still the value of Christianity. And those European nations that have a strong history of Christianity are the nations that are saying, we know we ought to invite and include these immigrants. The nations that do not have, especially the past 100 years or further back, those nations that do not have as part of their culture a strong Christian influence are the nations that are saying, why should we take these people? Why should we take them? It's not our problem. So generosity is not natural, but generosity can be cultural, and it's part of our national culture. And that's why there's a little bit of a tension around generosity in our country, because you know you ought to, but it doesn't come naturally. I have a friend who's very, very wealthy and very, very generous. He understands generosity like very few people I've ever met. And he has a very nice home in another country. And because he vacations there, he's aware of what's going on in the community. And there's a very poor community around this area where he has a home. And so he decided to do something for the community. And he started a nonprofit organization where he literally feeds thousands of children, thousands of children. Now, he has several wealthy friends that are nationals of this country. And he told me, he said, Andy, it's unbelievable. I cannot get these super wealthy people. He told me how much some of these men and families were worth. He said, this is generational money. He told me how much they're worth. He said, I cannot get them to write me a check to help their own kids in their own country. He said, I have to come to the United States to raise money from wealthy Americans to feed the kids in this country. The wealthy people in this country will not give. He said, it's just like, that's just not part of their culture. And there again, it's a nation that does not have a strong connection to Christianity, because generosity is not natural. It must be taught. But we live in a nation, fortunately, where it's still part of the American ought. But we don't want to lose that. But the day we decide, oh, it's just natural, and we totally disconnect it from our Christian heritage, we're in trouble. Now, I know that's offensive to some of you because you are not Christian. You don't want to be Christian. You don't even want to be in church today. And somebody's making you watch this, and you think, wait a minute, are you telling me only Christians are generous? No. What I'm saying is this. Generosity has to be taught. Generosity can be cultural. It is not natural. Now, if you want to know what's natural when it comes to money, what's natural when it comes to money is crazy. Crazy is natural when it comes to money, especially in our country. I mean, this is amazing to me, okay? I wasn't raised this way, so this is still crazy to me. Most Americans spend more than they make. How do you even do that? Okay, I don't know. I don't understand this. But most Americans spend more money than they make. Now, that is crazy. Not only that, most Americans pay interest. I wasn't raised this way either. Most Americans pay interest on things that decrease in value the moment they take possession of them. Most Americans pay interest on items that as soon as they take possession, the value of that item immediately decreases. And because they're going to pay interest on it, the price immediately increases. This is so confusing. I had to sit down and do a visual. So I'm going to show you my visual. I have a chart to explain this because this is crazy. Here's what it looks like. Okay, this is time, right? Okay. And then this is the point of purchase, right? So this moment of purchase. And the moment you purchase something that's going to decrease in value over time and you're going to pay interest on it, whether credit card interest or you finance or whatever, here's what happens. Immediately, the cost increases and the value decreases. Now, this is crazy. And we live in a culture where this is so normal that we think it's normal. This is not normal. This is crazy. But here's something that's just as crazy. And if you've been part of one of our churches for a long time, this will make sense. If this is your first time, you've already so offended, you've checked out. But just look back up for just give me, you know, 5 more minutes, okay? Here's what's really crazy. We don't feel rich, but we are. We don't feel rich, but we are. But we feel generous and we aren't. We don't really feel rich. Again, if there's somebody that could drop into your life from third world country and they would look at your life and say, are you kidding? You're rich. And you would try to explain the financial pressure you feel. And someone from a third world country would listen to your complaints about your financial pressure and they would think you're crazy. We don't feel rich, but we are. But we think we're generous. And as you're about to discover, we really aren't. So having said all that and having stirred the pot, and hey, you may be offended, but you're not bored. Okay. It's better to be offended than bored in church. Okay. So here's what do I mean when I say generous? If generosity isn't just random acts of giving, if generosity isn't just the moment, you know, where I take something that belongs to me and give it to somebody else, what do we mean by generosity? So real quick, I'm going to give you four myths. I've already given you one, four myths. Then I'm going to give you a definition. Then we're going to look at something Jesus said. And then I'm going to ask you to use your imagination, all right? So here's four myths about generosity. Number one, we've kind of covered this. Generosity is spontaneous. You know, I go somewhere and they're raising money for something. I'm like, oh, yeah, here's some money. Lady down the street, you know, has a tough time. Family down the street has a tough time. The neighborhood collects money. Oh, yeah, here's some money. You know, find out one of your children at school, somebody in their school's having a tough time, you know. Or you go to a fundraiser and somebody talks about something they're doing globally. Like, here's some money. So that's spontaneous giving. That's random giving. But that's not what we're talking about. Because generous people are actually less spontaneous. Generous people are actually less emotional in their giving. And generous people, and this is why I want you to be generous. I want to teach you how. Generous people are far more strategic in their giving. It's not hit and miss. So it's generosity. It's not just about the spontaneous giving that we do. That's not generosity. Second one, generosity, the other myth, is that generosity is determined by cash flow. You know, I can be generous today, but I can't be generous tomorrow. I just got paid, so I can be generous. You know, we're at the end of the month, I can't be generous. That somehow generosity or a person's ability to be a generous person is determined by cash flow. Generous people are consistently generous. Generous people, their generosity is not determined by cash flow. So if you're one of those people who generally, you know, I give when I can afford it, I don't give when I can't afford it, chances are you're a giver, but you've not learned to be generous. The third myth about generosity is this: it's the amount that counts. This one drives me crazy, but I always smile and, you know, I don't want to be rude. You've heard this 1,000 times, you know, that was such a generous gift. He made a generous gift. She made such a generous gift. And I'm thinking, no one knows if that was a generous gift except the person that gave it. The only person that knows if a gift is generous is the person that made it. Adding zeros to an amount does not necessarily determine whether or not a gift was generous. It may be a lot of money compared to what I make. It may be a lot of money compared to what you make. But one of the ways that we fool ourselves into thinking that we're generous is by looking at the amount of money. That, boy, that was a generous donation. The amount, here's what we're going to learn about generosity. And when it comes to generosity, the amount does not count, because giving is only one part of a person's overall finances. The only way to know whether or not a gift was generous is to know everything about that person's finances. And nobody knows everything about your finances or anybody else's finances except perhaps your accountant. So here's the great news. Everyone can be generous, and everyone can make a generous donation when you understand generosity. And then here's the last myth, and simply this, that rich people are generous. Rich people are generous. You know, Andy, I get this. I'm all for it. You know, I know some generous people. But Andy, when I become rich, then I'll be generous. So let me clear this up, okay? Pay attention. Rich people are rich. Generous people are generous. In fact, let's just say that out loud together. This is very, very important. Ready? Rich people are rich. Generous people are generous. And there is no natural correlation. And let me just predict something for all of you in your 20s. Okay, this is so important. If you are not generous now, when you get rich, you will just be a rich person who's not generous. Because there is no correlation between how much money you have, how much money you make, and whether or not you are generous. They are two completely different things. And I want you to learn to be generous, but you have to learn it. It has to be taught, because it is not natural. Everybody, regardless of your income level, can be a generous person. So, real quickly, I want to give you the definition of generosity that we're going to use throughout this series, because I know you can't wait to come back, okay? You're hoping this, I'll just keep going and you can't wait to come back. So I'm going to give you the definition, and I just need to let you know up front, this is a clunky, is the best word I can come up with. This is a clunky definition. In other words, this isn't pithy. This isn't, you know, it takes one to know one. I mean, this is like clunky. In fact, and I made it kind of clunky and difficult on purpose because I want each one of these words to make a difference in your thinking about generosity. I'm just going to give you the definition. Then the next couple of weeks, we're going to come back and kind of take it apart and parse some of these words. But here's what I mean when I talk about learning to be generous. Here's what generosity is. Generous is the premeditated, that means you got to have a plan. Generous people have a plan. Calculated, generous people already know how much they're going to give. Designated, generous people have pre-decided where it's going to go. Emancipation, this is my favorite word. Emancipation, that is, you're going to set it free. Generous people understand that they will, in order not to be possessed by their possessions, they have to realize they're not a possessor to begin with. And generous people understand that when they order their lives around generosity, they are setting free personal financial assets. So this series is not about being generous with your time or generous with your relationships or generous with whatever. This is specifically about being generous with your money. It's the premeditated, calculated, designated emancipation of personal financial assets. Now, if you're saying, Andy, where did you get this? I made it up, okay? You're not going to find this anywhere. I totally made it up because I want us to understand and I want us to slow down and understand what it means, not simply to give, you're all good givers, what it means to live a generous life. Because here's the thing, and here's what I really, really want for you. And if you've been here at any of our churches for a while, or if you've watched for a while, hopefully you've heard this and you know this. Listen, when you free your money, emancipation, when you free your money, you free yourself from your money. When you free your money and when you begin to view your life through the lens of generosity, when you become a generous person, when you understand that you order your financial life around freeing your money, it frees you from your money and you will actually be free. And it doesn't matter how much money you make. You've met some very, very wealthy people that worry about money all the time. You've met some middle income people that seem to just not be stressed out about it. And you met people on the lower end of the spectrum that are stressed out about it. And some that are some of the most generous people you will ever, ever meet. That generosity is not about income, but it's something you have to learn to do. Now, every sermon deserves at least one verse of scripture, don't you think? And I realize this has not been much Bible study, and we're coming into the end of our time together in this first part, because this is an introduction. And for those of you, if this is your first time, and you're thinking, where's the Bible? We're about to get to it. But I just want to show you one verse. Now, next week, we're going to do more. I'm telling you, you want to be here next week. If you got kids, got to have your kids here. You'll thank me forever. You'll send me thank you notes from the nursing home someday. I'll be gone. You send them to my grandkids because your kids are able to take care of you. But I just want to look at one verse of scripture, and it is the most popular, well-known verse in the Bible, I think, about money. And here's the surprise. All of you have heard this before. Most of you have said this before, but I'm betting a big percentage of you didn't know it was in the New Testament, and you didn't know that Jesus said it, and you don't know why it's in the Bible to begin with. Because this is so popular, it's almost like a saying that has lost all of its meaning. In fact, I'm going to argue that this is something Jesus said that has been so redefined, we completely miss what he meant when he said it. So let me give you a little bit of context. That we find this little, it's really, we think of it as a saying, but this incredible truth from Jesus. We discover this actually in the book of Acts. You know, there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the story of Jesus. Then the book of Acts tells us what happened after Jesus rose from the dead. The apostle Paul went all over the Mediterranean rim, planting all these churches in Gentile areas. In this particular case, he's in the city of Ephesus. He's leaving Ephesus and he's going to Jerusalem, and he knows he's going to be arrested, and he knows that the people in Ephesus will probably never see him again. It's one of the most emotional pieces of narrative in the entire New Testament. The apostle Paul is saying goodbye to friends. He's saying goodbye to supporters. He's saying goodbye to church leaders, and he's saying to them, I'm leaving. You'll never see me again. They're begging him not to go. And in this little narrative in Acts chapter 20, he begins to rehearse for them how what he did for them. And he talks about his generous life. And he's not bragging. He's just saying, I lived in front of you a generous life. And when I'm gone, I want you to continue to live a generous life. And he gives some details. And then, this is so cool to me, then he throws out this statement that was so familiar to them, he didn't have to say, you know, Jesus one day taught. He throws out a statement that is so familiar to the first century audience, just like it's familiar to us, that when he said it, they were like, oh yeah, we've heard that before. Oh yeah, we've heard that before. Oh yeah, we've heard that before. But they understood what Jesus meant when Jesus said this. Whereas for us, it's become a pithy little saying that we oftentimes say when we're giving a gift or we feel good about giving a gift. So here's what the Apostle Paul says. Then I want us to look at this. This is such a powerful, powerful idea. And it really sets the direction for this entire series. So he's at the end of this farewell. He's about to get on a boat. They're never going to see him again. And he's talked about a generous life. And then he says, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus, remembering that the words the Lord Jesus said, in other words, remembering like you already knew this, you've been taught this before, this isn't new information. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, when you have said this or when you have heard this, I'm guessing 90% or 100% of the time, it's when you gave a thing in a moment of time and you felt good about it. Or somebody said, you know, hey, thanks for giving that. And you're like, oh, no, I like giving. And somebody says, well, it's more blessed to give than receive. It's more blessed to give than receive. Or if you grew up the way I did, it is more blessed. I don't know why they say it that way. It is more blessed to give than to receive. But this saying of Jesus, this is so important, does not refer to a moment in time. This was a reference to a way of living. This was not a reference to a moment in time, you know, and that moment in time when I gave that, boy, I felt so good about giving, you know, and that's not what Jesus is talking about. In fact, let's be honest, you have given things to people before and somebody said, oh, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And you thought what I thought growing up. Yeah, but it's blessed to receive as well, isn't it? I mean, it is blessed to give and it is blessed to receive. And I'm not always sure it's more blessed to give than to receive. I'm thinking they're maybe equal and sometimes receives better. And that's because we hear these words and we think about a moment in time transaction. Now listen to this, and I'm almost done. Listen, that's not what Jesus had in mind. What Jesus was talking about, the little word blessed, it's the same word that we find in the Beatitudes. Remember we did the happy series? That this kind of blessed really means happy. And you sow and you reap your way into happy. That it is an outcome of a lifestyle. And what Jesus was referring to, and when you read it in context, what Paul was referring to is this. He's saying, if you live a generous life, if you live a generous life, not have moments of giving, but if you live a generous life, if you order your life around generosity, you will be happy. Happiness is an outcome of a lifestyle of generosity. Essentially, he's saying this. Happy is the person whose life is ordered around giving rather than receiving. Happy or happier is the person whose life, not a moment in time, not a transaction, not a, okay, I'll give, or okay, I'll give a little more. That's all good. Not random acts of giving. Happy, blessed is the man or woman, the teenager, the kid, whose life, whose entire life is ordered around giving rather than receiving. Now, at this point in the message, I know some of you are thinking, and I understand this, okay? Andy, how many weeks is this? Okay, because I think I have something to do for the next, would you say 2 more weeks? I'm pretty sure we have something to do. And hopefully you'll do something a little more practical, something that'll help my wife or my girlfriend or my boyfriend, you know, but no more money thing, okay? So I understand that. But here's, just everybody relax. I can't make you do anything. Let's be honest, you don't do half the stuff I ask you to do anyway, okay? So you don't need to be where you walk out of here all the time going, I ain't gonna do that. So you're good, okay? Just come back in the next couple of weeks. And honestly, if I can be honest, I wish all of you would sit on the front row next week, okay? I think that would really help us all kind of be eyeball to eyeball on this. So you can just relax. You don't have to worry. I'm really not trying to get something from you. I just want you to teach you to do something. If we just want something from you, I'm telling you, somebody with a microphone and pictures of children, we can get money. I mean, people know how to sell giving to you. In fact, the reason some of you don't enjoy giving, you feel like you're being sold over and over and over. You have to be inspired. You have to be motivated. You know, you have to see pictures and you're finally your tears in your eyes. You're finally writing a check. This is not about that. This is way better than that. And so you have permission to ignore me, but you owe it to yourself because I'm telling you, okay? This is the offensive part. I don't know that for the rest of your life, anyone is going to teach you how to be generous. For the rest of your life, people are going to try to inspire you to give, motivate you to give, guilt you to give. But this may be your one opportunity for somebody to teach you how not to give, how to be generous. So before you write me off, I just want you to use your imagination real quick and we're done, okay? And this is kind of weird. Imagine that suddenly, magically, mystically, providentially, you know, this can't happen. But imagine that suddenly you had a checking account full of all the money you've wasted the last 5 years. If you're 40, let's go 10 years. Okay, if you're 40 or older, 10 years. That suddenly, and by wasted, you define wasted. I'm not going to tell you what waste is. You define, you know, it's, maybe you should have kept that car longer. Maybe you didn't need a couch. Maybe you think of all the shoes. I mean, whatever you look back, I don't want to say too much because I don't want you to feel like I'm condemning you or your lifestyle or whatever you did. It could be a habit. It could be a gambling thing. It could be, I don't know. You just think about those regretful purchases or after a season of time, you look back and go, oh my gosh, if I could have a dime for every, you know, if I could just go back. I just want you to imagine, just use your imagination. You have a check. Account full of all the money that you considered wasteful spending, dumb investments, whatever it might be. That boat, why didn't I listen? I bought a boat. Oh, I regret the day. What all the cat, you know, all the, it's in a checking account and you can't spend it. You have to give it away, and you have to give it away in 12 months. For most of you, it's hundreds. For a lot of you, it's hundreds of dollars. For most of us, it's thousands of dollars. It might be tens of thousands of dollars. Just imagine for a second. You have a checking account, and you can't spend it. It's yours, but it's not yours. It's yours to manage, but you don't really possess it. You can't do anything to benefit you, but you've got a checking account, and all you can do with this money is give it away. You don't have to give it away immediately. You have a year to give it away. Wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't that be fun? You know, they're down the street trying to raise $800. You're like, $900, done. You know, at school, they're doing something and you're writing checks and they're like, whoa, are you rich? And you're like, no, I'm not rich. I just can't spend this money on me. And I got the, you know, I woke up one day and there was an angel at the end of my bed and said, hey, you know, you got to spend this money on somebody else. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. And you know what? You wouldn't be possessive. You wouldn't be regretful. I'm telling you, you would experience the joy of living a generous life. So here's my question. Why not just do that going forward? Because I'm going to teach you how. I'm going to teach you how. You can do this. You've already screwed up the last 5 years of dumb whatever you did with your money, and you would love to have it back. You would love to have it back. And you would love to have it back even if you couldn't spend it on you. So don't do that again for another 5 years. Don't do that again for another 10 years. I want you to learn to be generous. Because it's a powerful, powerful, powerful thing. And you can learn. And you'll save more. And you'll spend less. And you'll have more joy in your life. And Jesus said, you don't have to believe me. Jesus said, you'll be happier. By the time I was 30 years old, I had given away two cars. I was in graduate school. I had this big old clunker car. It was my family's car, my parents' car. They gave it to me to go to graduate school in Dallas. And I mean, you could put everything you own in this car. It was so big. It was not cool. Nobody wanted this car. It was bad color. I don't want to say what color it was in case you have a car. It was all bad, you know. It was a big family car. And it was just me, the single guy, going to graduate school. Okay, in fact, in graduate school, people would kid me, Andy, you got the family car. Where's the family? That's what they would say to me because this car was so big. It was such a family car. And while I was in graduate school, there was a family that had a really, really difficult time. Had three kids, just a tough time. And I decided, gosh, and they lost their car. And so I decided to give them my car. And I'll never forget, I called my dad. Now, let me just say this, stop real quick, okay? Because this is so important. I bought lots of cars in my life. When I think back on purchasing all the cars I've purchased, there is no emotion associated with any of those purchases, zero. I have three kids. I mean, I've bought so many cars. When I think about buying cars, nothing goes, I'll never forget driving out of the showroom in my Ford F-150. I mean, it's not emotional, you know? It's a truck. You know, it's what I drive, okay? But I'm telling you, I can hardly tell these two stories without it being emotional. I want you to understand what it means to live a generous life. So I called my dad. I said, Dad, it's family at seminary, you know, da-da-da-da. I said, they need a car. I want to give them my car. My dad said, well, it's your car. If you want to give it away, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know, but I just want to give him my car. He said, okay. Because I was raised to be generous. I mean, this is easier for me than it will be for you. Because I was taught early to be generous. He said, what are you going to do for a car? I said, I don't know. He said, how are you going to get home? I said, I guess hitch a ride with, you know, or maybe fly, you know. He said, well, it's your car if you want to give it away. I'll never forget driving over there to their house. Because they're one of the families that would kid me about, hey, you got the car, where's the family? I said, hey, I've prayed about this and I know this is kind of crazy, but here's the keys. You can have my car. What? I said, yeah, you can have it. Like, who gives away a car? What graduate student gives away a car? And let me tell you, okay, it's not because I was rich. It's because I was generous. And if you dropped in on my life at that point, nobody in this room would say, dude, you were so rich. No, I was generous. Because you learn to do this. So a few years later, I was 30 years old. Good friend is back in Atlanta. His wife wrecked the car, totaled the car. No insurance, you know. It was her fault. Big issue. Now they don't have a car. They've got 4 kids. He's looking for a car and trying to figure this out. And I've been saving money because when you're generous, you save. If you have a hard time saving, I know this doesn't make any sense. You got to come back. If you have a hard time saving, you need to learn to be generous. It is a keystone habit. It will affect all of your finances. So I'm a saver. It's easy. And they're trying to buy a car, not an expensive car, basically a replacement station wagon. Remember those? You know, this is years ago. And I thought, well, I could just buy him a car. So I went to him. He's a good friend. I said, I know this is awkward. It's kind of crazy, but you know, look, let me just buy you a car. He'd already found one. He's trying to figure out how to finance it. You know, it's going to be on. I said, no, let's just go down there and I'll just buy it for you. And he's looking at me. I said, no, really. I want to do this. I bought him a car. I'm telling you. There is more joy and there is more emotion around those two car stories than all the other cars I've purchased combined. You say, well, Andy, are you bragging? No, I dare you to become generous. It's awesome. And here's the thing. Giving away cars, that's crazy. Let me just tell you and then we're done. Jesus says not to be generous is crazy. Don't miss next week. Jesus says, to live any other way, those are the crazy people. Those are the people without a clue. Those are the people that are living in la-la land. It is the men and women, the man and woman, the child, the single, the college student, the rich, the poor, the in-between. It's the person that learns to live a generous life. Those aren't the crazy people. Those are the people who live with their eyes wide open. So you have to choose your crazy. But before you do, you need to come back next week for part 2 of Crazy Like Us.